Our scripture today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to be praying for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. So we're in this series from 1 Peter 1. The Apostle Peter is writing to encourage Christ followers to hold on to their faith. By this time, probably some 30 years after the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ had been spreading across the Roman Empire and beyond. And Peter is trying to speak words of encouragement and instructions to Christians who had been scattered all over Asia and were tempted to stray from the faith. They had experienced persecution for their faith, and more was likely. What did Peter want them to understand? Well, the first week, remember, we said his focus was remember who you are, God's chosen ones. Though you are scattered and persecuted, you're God's chosen ones, special and part of His unfolding plan. Last week, his focus, remember what you have, living hope and a future inheritance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have living hope and in the present and a future inheritance waiting for you in heaven. Today, his focus, remember how to respond with faith in trials. Though you are experiencing these trials, your faith will see you through. That's our focus today, faith in trials. So right off the bat, remember this, there are going to be trials. None of us is immune. Throughout our lives, we experience trials. I remember as the oldest of seven kids growing up, at times when some of my friends were out running around having fun, I was having to help my mom with my younger brothers and sisters. Trials. As I got older and my brother and I started delivering the morning newspaper on our bikes before school, we learned that the hardest thing about the job was not throwing the papers before school, but afterwards in the evenings trying to collect the money that people owed us each month. Some people were never at home. Trials. When Kathy and I were parenting our three daughters as they were growing up, I remember some days when we'd look at each other and say, with some trepidation, we're living the dream. We are living the dream. Well, whatever the stage you are in life, there are going to be trials. Whether you're young in faith or have been at it a while makes no difference either. I saw a t-shirt recently that I liked. It said, young at heart, slightly older in other places. No matter our stage of life, there are going to be trials. So what is Peter trying to tell first century believers and us too? How do we live out our faith? Well, he says in 1 Peter 1:6, he says this, in this you greatly rejoice. What is this? We rejoice in, remember, our living hope and future inheritance, the living hope within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the future inheritance waiting us in heaven. We talked about these great blessings last week. 1 Peter 1:6 continues, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Post trials in the chat. We rejoice in our living hope and our future inheritance. We also deal now with grief and trials. None of us is immune from grief and trials. I was with some pastors last week and found out that, hey, we're all dealing with grief and trials. I talk with a variety of people day by day, and each of them, too, have some form of grief or trials. What about you? Have there been sources of grief or trials in your life lately? Health issues, money issues, relationship issues, work issues, family issues. All these aspects of our life often bring grief and trials. For me, these last few years have certainly been a time of grief and trials. COVID brought all kinds of new dynamics, uncertainty, change, differing opinions, hardships, and even death. At the same time, there has been continued racial tension, political division, economic difficulties, and education challenges. At Christ Church this year, we've been trying to re-engage and reconnect with each other in the body of Christ while reaching out to new people who come seeking Christ with various needs. Peter reminds us there are going to be trials. We can count on that. And we often don't know where the source of trials will come from. The story is told of young Johnny coming through the door after school one day and hollering out, "Okay, everyone in the house, please be advised that I, Johnny, on this date made a complete fool of myself in sex ed class by repeating stories concerning storks as told to me by certain parties residing in this house." Yes, our own families can sometimes be the source of our trials. Peter says there are going to be trials. Yet remember, these trials have a purpose, post-purpose in the chat. We can get through trials, through struggles, if we know the trial, the struggle, has a higher purpose. In high school, 2 football practices a day during the August heat got us in shape for the rest of the season. 2-a-days had a higher purpose. Throughout my time in seminary, there was a lot of reading books and writing papers and having discussions. Why? To prepare me for ministry. A higher purpose. Like many trials we face, they rarely are enjoyable in the moment, but instead are preparation for something greater. The nature of our trials can vary. It might be parent-child struggles. There might be a season of difficulty in your marriage or your relationship, or perhaps a time of struggle in your faith. We all go through these times. We can get through them if we believe there is a meaningful purpose, a higher purpose in the trial. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "These trials have come that your faith of greater worth than gold." Now, Peter takes an aside here, but it's a good one. Remember this, your faith is of great value. Your faith is of greater worth than gold. Gold is a precious metal that always has wonderful value in the world, but your faith is of greater worth than gold. Why? It can provide you with things that gold can't. Your faith can provide you with eternal life, with abundant life, with victorious life. It can help you face giants. It can help you weather the storms. It can help you move mountains. Peter continues, "These trials have come so that your faith, which is more valuable than gold, may be proved genuine." Get this, your faith is tested and proved genuine through trials. Wow, what a different perspective. I don't know about you, but my initial reaction to most trials is to complain. Lord, I don't like these trials. Lord, I don't like them. I'd like them to stop. But Peter is encouraging us to have another perspective. These trials are for our good. Lord, are you using these trials to shape me and strengthen me? Well, rather than complain, perhaps I need to ask some simple questions. Lord, what do you want me to learn through this trial? Lord, what about my faith is being tested and proved here? We all have our stories of trial and testing. Yours might involve your family or work or school. Many of mine involve leadership in the church. In 1993, I was a new pastor appointed to start a brand new church in South Oklahoma City from scratch. We were excited but faced big challenges. Initially, we met in a school cafeteria next to the property where we eventually were going to build. And fairly soon, we started growing and we needed more space. So I asked the principal if we could rent more space. The principal said, "We'll give you less space than you currently have been renting." Ah! She wasn't too happy, it turned out, with our being there. So we had to start looking for a new place. One space was not far from our property, about 2 miles away. It was nice, but the rent was way too high. Another space was 4 miles from our property. We could rent it, but it was not very nice. And the distance was so far. It was a strip shopping mall with several bays open. We landed there and we fixed it up and we stayed for 2 years. And God provided what we needed as we prepared to build our first building. Now that strip shopping mall was not what I wanted. It was not how I had planned things. And initially, I was pretty upset about it. But I know now God was testing my faith. God was showing me that He could and would provide. He provided us what we needed. Our job was to simply trust Him. So how are you responding to your current trials? With faith or with fear? Are you responding in the Spirit or in the flesh? In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul encourages believers to live by the Spirit rather than the flesh. In fact, he contrasts life in the Spirit versus life in the flesh by listing the acts of the sinful nature. And then in Galatians 5:22, he writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I often think about that list, the fruit of the Spirit, and I ask, how am I responding to this trial? According to the Spirit or the flesh? 1 Peter 1:7 continues, "These trials have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." Your tested faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed, but will we pass the test? A teacher asked little Annie if she knew her numbers. "Yes," she said, "I do. My father taught me." "Well, what comes after 3? 4. "Well, what comes after 6? 7. "Very good. Your dad did a good job." "What comes after 10? "Jack," she said. Annie almost got it right. When our faith is tested and proved genuine, it does result in praise, glory, and honor. As Jesus Himself told it in Matthew 25:21, we, like the servant in Jesus' parable, one day hope to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness." So, in encouraging believers who need encouragement, Peter says, first of all, remember, there are going to be trials. Secondly, remember, these trials have a purpose. And third, he says, love and faith will see you through. What's going to be the best source of motivation, strength, and courage in the midst of life's trials? Love and faith. Love and faith are the two greatest powers in the universe. First of all, if we learn to walk in love, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as we love ourselves, we'll be blessed and we'll experience a meaningful, satisfying life. Second, if we continue to walk by faith, faith in Jesus Christ, we will experience eternal life, abundant life, victorious life, and peace with God. We will experience all we need. We will have victory over life's struggles. So in 1 Peter 1:8, the apostle continues, though you have seen him, you love him. We love Jesus. Amen? Most of us haven't seen him, but we've heard the stories. His birth, his life, message, miracles, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. We love him because his story grips us. I love to hear or read about how people come to Jesus. Though the stories vary, I marvel at the amazing work of God's Spirit that reaches out and touches people where they are and draws them to himself. Whether they meet him through a worship service, listening to a podcast, in a conversation, or reading the scripture, or just crying out in prayer, the living power of Jesus is real. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. We love Jesus because of what he did 2,000 years ago. Amen? We believe in Jesus because of what he continues to do in our world and in our lives even today. Get this, over 2 billion people, about a third of the world's population today, claim the name of Jesus. And more, the rest of the world know of Jesus. They have heard his story. And though they may not believe, they have heard parts of Jesus' story and are curious. That's why we're encouraged to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. But most importantly is the story of what Jesus is currently doing in your heart, your life, that matters most. 1 Peter 1:8, though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Post joy in the chat. I meet with some men in an online Journey D group every other Monday night, and we share about how things are going in our life. One guy in particular shares regularly about the difference Jesus is making in his life and his family. He has that inexpressible and glorious joy Peter is talking about. I don't know about you. I don't have all the answers I'd like. I don't have all the answers to all my own questions, but I do believe that love and faith that Jesus taught and practiced has the power to change the world, to change my world. Love and faith will see you and me through. So what's the result of our love and faith? 1 Peter 1:9, though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God's goal is that all of us would receive the salvation of our souls. And we have our part. It begins when we fall in love with Jesus. We hear his message and believe in his love, his mercy, his grace for us. And we receive his forgiveness, which he showed us by going to the cross. And then we begin to walk with Jesus by faith and let him lead our life, even through times of trial and struggle, knowing that love and faith will see us through. That's how we experience the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Remember this, in Jesus, you have love and faith you need to see you through. Let's pray. Let's pray about that. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, thank you for Peter's witness. There are going to be trials, but these trials have a purpose to test and prove our faith. Give us eyes to see and hearts to believe, and show us, yes, that love and faith will see us through. We love you, Lord. We love your church. We love your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for you. And thank you again for your generosity. You know, your online gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online to use the app or the website anytime to make those contributions. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, in Jesus, you have the love and faith you need to see you through. For now, who do you know that needs this love and faith from Jesus to see them through?
I had a date last night.
Oh, yeah?
It was perfect.
Oh, that's sweet.
Tomorrow, I'm going to try a grape.
Join us Saturday, May 21st at 10 a.m. for brunch. Our speaker is Lisa Bain, the founder of Lisa Bain Ministries. Her ministry provides encouragement, support, and practical tools for those in broken places so they can find a purpose and freedom. Contact Tanya Erickson, Kathy Feist, or sign up at the Connect Center.
Parenting is never easy. We have a monthly support group for hurting parents that will meet today, May 15th at 5 p.m. at the church. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information on how to participate. You don't have to suffer alone. There are other parents who understand and care.
The All Ears Music Appreciation Society will screen the opera Cinderella by Alma Deutscher. Ms. Deutscher composed both the music and the lyrics, as well as playing the violin and the organ in the production. Prepare to be amazed. She did all of this at the age of 12. Sung in English with plenty of catchy and hummable tunes today at 2 p.m. in the movie room. Kids of all ages are welcome.
You can find all this information on our website, cumctulsa.com.